science, by definition, allows for more than one opinion. Otherwise, you merely have the will of one man, which is the basis of cult.
If it's not in the frame, it doesn't exist.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not gonna take this anymore!
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I illusion.
Where you been?
Drunk. Wendy? Billy! Darling? Light of my life.
What is your one purpose in life?
To explode, of course.
I like death with sex. How about you, Casey? You like sex with death?
Get some fuck up and die.
Like a wrestling?
Wrestling?
Dude, wrestling. I mean, like, you know.
The real martial arts.
Wrestling.
I'm not a... yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Pro wrestling.
Pro wrestling. This ain't no...
It is, yeah.
Olympic wrestling.
Stupid MMA or anything else.
Nothing like that. I don't want... Honestly, though, it's like, I appreciate... like athleticism and like going against each other in combat, but it's just like I wish more sports leaned into the fucking like showmanship and the dramatization of it. Like, you imagine like archery if they treated it like professional wrestling, where they're just like, all right, bro, I'm gonna put this to you talking shit about my fucking girlfriend and all this whatever.
Have you seen UFC lately? Yeah.
No, of course not.
Guess what? It's that, and people hate it.
That's too bad.
The pageantry's there, dude. Yeah, do they get to wear as much tassel? That's like what I'm really. I want. Yeah, there's
like
the flair. I wish there was more spandex,
Jordan's
but there's not.
There for the tassel. Yeah.
I'm
surprised you're not wearing tassel right now.
I know, right?
Just kidding. Like, you're wearing the same thing every single time I talk to you.
But trust me, there are heels. There are definitely heels in UFC.
One day, I want to see you, like, you got your just black t-shirt, but I want to see your black t-shirt, but with tassels. That's it. Like, just
with
tassels.
I can get that here. I can just cut them up, and then they'll just be like Frey. that's what I need, man. They're starting to fall apart, so it's like Frey anyways. I only own eight shirts. So unlike these guys, they own zero shirts, baby. They only own muscles, baby.
The shirts are only for ripping off.
They only own rebar, baby. Yeah. Right in their guts, baby. I love
they just
oh
have
my
built
God.
In the armor. Men in that's this, like dude, putting a fucking shirt over your your fucking battle armor.
That's true.
I mean, that's why I'm wearing the tank top.
Yes. Oh wait. They only wear clothes to funerals.
That's true. Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Podcast.
Everything else is jorts.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, it is true.
Jorts
and
cowboy hats. Yeah. Hell yeah.
Cowboy hats. Yeah. Got Jordan and me today, like usual. But then also, we got Pablo, who's with us again, because he's our in-house MMA expert. He wrote the book on the Von Erich family. He wrote the biography.
He's
our expert witness.
He's our historian for all WWF/WWE, because now we're in the entertainment sector.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know McMahon personally. You've met him.
Yeah. Oh, do not put me in the same. No, I don't want.
He's the intern that got shit on.
Dude, I'm so jealous, dude. I want to be the Mankind. I wish I was.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, you could pull off Mankind so well.
Dude, yeah, dude, I gotta be Mankind
every time
for
I think
Halloween.
Of Mankind, I think of him showing up in 30 Rock.
Yeah,
like,
dude.
Oh, Mr. Socko. Anyway.
Yeah, dude.
So you might be, I mean, you clicked on the fucking thing. We're talking about wrestling today.
I'm excited. We're talking about a movie that's pretty contemporary, dude.
The Iron Claw, which is, recent. It just came out last year. And it got quite the buzz. And I know everyone was kind of like talking like it got kind of stiffed at the Oscars because it was in the conversation. Everyone I kept hearing was like, the two things that got the biggest stiffs of this Oscar season was May, December and the Iron Claw. And I totally agree with both of those. But that makes sense because it's like, for some reason, A24 decided to push Past Lives. And I don't know if there's any huge Past Life fans out there, but I didn't care for it. So I'm like, Iron Claw is much better.
Never seen it, so.
Yeah, don't bother.
Yeah,
it's about love.
I was excited to see Past Lives, but and I was excited to see this, and like, you know what though? I don't think I would have watched this because, like, you know, a biopic about like a tragic wrestling family isn't quite what I want to see. And I don't know. I don't know.
I kind of agree.
Did, like, I guess what were your expectations? Here, let's do that. That's usually how we start. We start with a synopsis. Do you want a little synopsis for our fine folks at home?
I think expectations is fine. We can do that.
Yeah, and then we'll give a quick synopsis.
Sure. Sure, yeah, we'll try to keep it really quick. But Pablo, you start us off. What were your first impressions? This is your first time seeing it?
No. Second. Oh, yeah. I saw it in theaters when it came out, and I was excited to watch it. I don't know why it got me like wanting to see it, because I'm not a big wrestling fan, like pro wrestling fan, but just something about like the sportsmanship, the athleticism, like that's all cool for me, and it being like, okay, a serious story about wrestling. Was interesting to me, and I like Zac Efron, so I thought, like, dude, oh, maybe this could be good. And
he's delivered. The fucking highlight. He's so good. Movie.
Yeah, he got snubbed for sure in the Oscars.
He's like the lead, 100% lead. I mean, everyone did good too. It's like, I forget the guy's name, but like Trench, the dad, right?
From Mindhunter.
Yeah. And then also Jeremy Allen White, and all those did really good. But what was your expectations, Jordan?
Yeah, I guess it's like I got clouded with tragedy. People were telling me this is like the saddest movie ever, and like all of it is like so tragic, and I wholly agree, but I feel like the movie like strayed away from that and in a positive way. I actually like the story that they told, where like when I went and did like, you know, research for it, I was like, holy crap, this is like so like heart. Like, it's heartwarming and just, like, gut-wrenching, and it's so human. And, like, I kind of wish that the movie got a little darker, but I totally understand why they didn't.
That's a fucking surprise.
And they could have.
It was darker?
They could have made it darker.
Yeah, 100%.
And that's the whole thing. It's like they skirted past.
Yeah.
It literally, like, all of the tragedy happened within, like, 20 minutes of the whole movie, you know? And then the rest, you know, and then, like, at the aftermath, and then... I don't know. It just seemed like they did a great job at building the family, but then the individual grieving and stuff didn't really exist. And so that, you know, that's like my only gripe with it. But
I think it worked, but we'll get into it.
I think I think it worked, but like, I do think the first half was kind of more interesting. But it was interesting. It's funny that you guys kind of had like these expectations. I literally knew absolutely nothing about this movie. I didn't even know it was about wrestling. Like, not really. Like, I saw...
You thought it was about a trash compactor or something that grabs cars from the...
No, it's like from a junkyard. I hadn't seen any trailers. I saw, like, one promo picture of, like, ripped Jeremy Allen White and Zac Efron. And then I saw the poster, and it's, like, the one that's all soft light, like, every... And it's, like, all of them huddled together. And so I thought, like... And it looks very, like... I don't know. It does look like this, like, oh, the power of family... And like from the poster, like that was literally my entire impression until I started hearing more buzz about it. But I didn't hear anything about plot details. And then Pablo was like, oh, it is professional wrestling. Cause I'm like, oh, what everything I know about professional wrestling is like, Mankind. It's like, well, this guy doesn't have a fucking sock on his hand. So how am I supposed to, like, he looks like a regular dude, like actually taking it seriously. And so I had no idea. And I didn't hear tragic or anything. I just got the vibe early on. I'm like, oh, that younger brother is probably going to die. But then, like, they just kept dying. Yeah, I was like, it just keeps coming.
Exactly. I didn't know the extent.
I didn't know
of the family curse and like of the tragedy. So I like every time I would like I'd see a character, one of the brothers, and I'd be like, oh, I wonder what's gonna like befall him. And then I was like, oh, he dies. Like it's like I'm like, oh shit. Like,
it just gets worse and worse. It's not even just like he dies. It's like, oh my God.
I thought for sure something was going to happen to his kid. I was getting nervous about it because he was like, I can't come home, you know, or whatever.
Heart-wrenching. Right? Just like, I'm like actually scared for my kid and I don't want to put this on him, even though I know it's fake.
All right. Real quick.
No. Yeah.
Just real quick for all the homies that didn't watch the movie but want to be able to follow. The Iron Claw. I mean, feel free to jump in wherever you want. I'm going to just try and blast through it. Iron Claw. It's about the Von Erich family. It's based on a true story. They got their patriarch of a dad that's played by Tench from Mindhunter.
Whatever his name is.
I forget his name. He's cool, though. But and it's the four brothers that are growing up in this super, super staunch, super toxic household of, like, ultimate, like, imagine it's like the ultimate, I got to make daddy proud, everything. That he literally sits them down in like one of the first scenes and is like, here's your ranking. Uh-huh. And the ranking can change at any time. And that really sets the stage for like this dad's expectations.
Like
and
fully serious, fully like conservative.
100%. They just in shake Texas. Hands and you only earn daddy's hug when you do good enough to be able to move up in the ranking.
Whoa. Daddy's hug? No, daddy's handshake, maybe.
No, that's what I said. You like the only time he hugged his sons was like when he's like, when David, you're number one. Good job, son. Yeah. And it's basically just to make fucking Kevin, who is, you know, Zac Efron's character, who's like the lead, feel like shit, you know? So it's like these four brothers, three of them are like ultra athletes. And then they got the younger brother who's like kind of he's like into music and stuff. And Jeremy Allen White's character, he's like an Olympian, but the Olympics get canceled because of like Cold War tensions. And so he comes back home and his dad's like, all right, son, you're getting into wrestling because I make all of the family's choices no matter what, even though you're adults. Right. And they're like, thanks, dad. Thanks for making all our choices. But the four brothers have this really good bond. But slowly, Zac Efron's character starts losing favor with his dad. He gets like hurt a little bit in the ring, and it's like he's not performing up to his standards to make daddy proud. So his other brother gets pushed to the top, and he's going to be like the one that he keeps pushing in the league professionally his career. And so he's about to be the world champion, and his gut explodes because of all the roids and stuff he's taken, probably, and the pressure, I guess.
Yeah.
And so they're like, oh, he's dead now. And then they're like, okay, we're going to get the other brother into it. And they're like, okay, great. And then he's like, I won it. I won the thing. And then he gets in a motorcycle accident and loses his leg. So it's like more curse. Meanwhile, Kevin meets this chick who's completely irrelevant and has a relationship with her and eventually a kid. But after...
She keeps him grounded. I like her.
Yeah, Carrie.
Yeah, right.
And then Jeremy Allen White's character, Carrie, after he loses his leg, they get the other son, the young son. They're like, all right, son, you're basically all we have left now. Let's going to get you into the, even though you're like a little pussy, we're going to get you. Dad, that's from the dad's perspective here.
Sure, yeah. I mean, Mike is a little Lilyfoot. He wants to play his music.
It's nice because he's the artist and he has the connection in. I really liked the relationship, even though it was really subtle between him and his mom. Like they were you could tell he was the baby. She's the only one that she tells about like that painting. You know, it's very nice that they're, and she's the only one that she cries only at his funeral. You know what I mean? And tries to make it about the dress and everything. But anyway, just getting ahead of myself a little bit, his funeral. So he gets into wrestling, but then he immediately fucks his shoulder up, gets surgery, gets toxic shock syndrome, goes into a coma, and has like fucking brain damage. Yeah. Now he can't play guitar and he can barely hold his spoon.
That's the saddest part for me. I'm just like, oh my. So like them all sitting around the table and then pretending like nothing's wrong, but he's like, he can barely move.
And at the beginning of the movie, he's like gulping down food and now he can like barely put it in his mouth.
So no, and they made him, no, the tragic part is they fucking made him do a press conference like so.
Right.
So like immediately.
They're like, when are you
going to
be back
hospital?
In the ring? And it's like, you can tell like he's just like kind of staring off, trying to be like comprehend, but
yeah.
And then so of course super tragic, he kills himself too. He kills himself, he's the first one that actually kills himself. And then, you know, meanwhile Carrie, who's missing the leg, is trying to like work through it with the prosthetic and try and get back in the ring, but his life's kind of falling apart. But he kind of ends up doing it, and because finally Kevin, right, is like, fuck this. And he kind of goes to live his family life and like work behind the scenes running the operation, which his dad runs like the federation, right?
Yeah, like the local scene.
The local Texas Federation or whatever. And so Carrie, the one-legged, he kind of makes it on top, but it kind of gets away from him and he's super depressed. And he gets his dad a gun. His dad just doesn't care either. And so...
Well, when he calls up his brother, he says like, they're not going to renew my contract, I'm not going to be doing, I can't, I live in pain constantly.
Even if they did, it's like he's just nothing for himself, like he's just doing it all, like his life is just a wreck. So, and that's so sad too. He calls up Kevin, and Kevin's like, dude, tell me where you are. Like, he doesn't ever express it outward, but he's definitely kind of done with his dad shit to a point where he's kind of trying to do his own thing. And he's in charge of the league now, and he's like, I'm thinking about selling it. And his dad's like, don't you ever. But then, of course, he's like, okay, I'm going to come meet up with you. And then Carrie kills himself, too, as soon as he gets to his dad's house. And they, him and his dad getting kind of a, finally getting to like a kind of a fight, like a climax. And he's like, chokes him. And they're like, we're done. And then he sells the shit to be good for his family, you know. And he moves on. And he's the only brother. Like, all his brothers are dead. And there was another younger brother that died when they were kids. And all the brothers are dead, but he's got his kids and he's trying to make the best of it. And he's super sad. And it is pretty.
That final scene.
Yeah, it's pretty sad because it's like.
Yeah, it's great.
They do a really good job of like doing the brotherhood, like the closeness and like
that. Yeah.
How they have that, their own.
Executed
like,
perfectly.
Yeah, like they're competitive with each other, especially for daddy's love. But also it's like they sneaking out of the house and going to parties together. And they're like. Like, Kevin's even like, yo, I just want to be in the ring with my brothers. That's what's up. And when he meets Pam, he's like, yeah, me and my brothers, we're like best friends. And maybe we get married and we buy a ranch. And then all my brothers can come live with us in our basement. Like, it's great.
And then he kind of does. I love
it. He does. In real life, he got everyone to live on a ranch, which is awesome.
He really did. Yeah.
Because then it did end with like the traditional biopic. Where it's like, and here's what happened with some text, and then it went a little step further, which I like, and showed the real pictures and the modern pictures, so you can know that, like, you know, Kevin, who's, you know, the protagonist, you're like, he's happy now, you know what I mean? You could see it with his he's made his own family, and he made it about love, you know what I mean? And that's great.
So I guess the first question I would have to ask is, did you guys cry?
No.
I don't.
Pablo, I cried like a bitch.
Pablo, my good friend.
Dude.
I don't think I've ever cried.
Oh, shut up.
I don't cry.
Oh, my God.
Like
you know
said,
I'm going to punch you until
like
you cry.
Like we said before,
I'm going to punch
you
until
like,
I cry.
So, it was very
it's
sad,
weird.
But sad things
I
don't make
thought,
me cry.
Dude, it was,
yeah, well, like,
it was the final scene. It was the final scene for me.
See, in that final scene, I loved it, and it did. Oh, I felt like really emotional, but the part that got me, that like I really was like, I was like, oh, I like would choke up right here, but I just didn't. And I don't know. It's when he takes the boat ride, when it finally like, when it like totally breaks the like convention and it's got that like fantasy scene where he's like going to heaven, you know, meeting his brothers again. I was like, oh, I like felt good and so wanted to cry at that just filmmaking. Like I love when like, you kind of do that. Like that's kind of like, and so do you disagree? Cause I was going to say, because in First Reformed, when they do that scene and they have the like, they break total conventions and it's just like that surreal scene for
where
like 2 minutes.
Where
they're
like flying through space. God,
we're
so good.
and that's kind of what, that's like the same vibe I got in this where I'm just like, I'm like, oh,
except
cool.
First
like,
Reform is
we
like literally like they're flying over fields of like burning rubber.
Yeah, right. But it does, I just, that's like, that's the vibe I got. And I loved when he just jumps and he's got both his feet and you're like, oh, cool. And he meets his brothers. But yeah. I don't know, man.
I don't
watching people cry doesn't make me cry.
No, so for me, it was more about like the whole fact that Kevin was obviously going through like huge depression, and he's just like, I can't like let people see me like this. I can't be weak or anything like that. That the final end of his like kids saying like, it's okay, you can let it go now.
Yeah,
that's what got me.
Yeah, that's like kind of the best why Zac Efron's so good in this is because he's doing such a good job playing a character that's containing his emotions, which is like he does the big stuff good. And he's like, obviously got the physique and the presence, but it's just like the scene when he, after his brother dies and they're at the house and he finds the, postcard from Tokyo and he's like, reads the postcard and it's just like, he doesn't cry, but it's just like, you can see so much sorrow in his eyes and it's just a gulp. He just one big gulp. And then he just shoves it down, just fucking shoves it down into his chest and moves on. And I'm like, that's great. That's great acting.
Yeah, no.
Like, that's like really
so good. When he finally is allowed to let it all go, that's so what allowed me to be
did,
like, yeah.
It did feel like a damn. Like it did. It was a release that I needed because I was like anticipating, not that the confrontation with the dad wasn't satisfying. I think it was. But like I was anticipating like, I guess, something else. Like it was all so sudden with the suicide happening literally right then and practically in front of them. Like I was anticipating like a more like, no, dad, I've moved past you or something. And so it's just like, I didn't get the release that I wanted then, but then I did get the release finally with the kids at the end. Like, that was the scene where it's like finally like, oh, okay, that's where he's can like, I can grieve. You guys are my family. And they're like, boys cry all the time. It's fine, daddy.
Dude,
right.
That line,
yeah,
though.
And like,
I will be your brothers.
I yeah. used to be a brother, but I'm not a brother anymore. Dude, like,
that's
the one.
Good.
That's the
good. No, that's yeah. a good line. You yeah. know, like,
so
I,
good.
Well, no, you know what's great, too, is that is the last scene that they shot. And so the entire production, they weren't allowed to cry. No one was able to cry. And so that was the last scene
exactly.
they physically shot for the movie.
That's
and
great.
I'm like, oh, that's cool.
Exactly.
It really works.
It,
yeah.
shows.
It really shows.
It shows.
Like, and Zac Efron, like, I think he needed to get there, you know? Like that's...
yeah, that, no, that he, makes a lot
it,
of sense.
It works so
awesome.
Well.
Yeah.
yeah.
Like, have you ever seen yeah. that Michael... Bryan Cranston interview where he's talking about, like, oh, have you ever seen a movie where, like, the main character cries easily, then it takes the onus off the audience too. So for this movie to have that build up, and then the
yeah.
release, I'm like, that's for me is what got me so
yeah.
much.
No, I agree with that.
More
yeah.
than like, I don't know, let's say The Whale.
Right. Yeah. Like we said,
right,
it's like
right.
the cinematic moments and like the proud and the overcoming the odds. So it's just like, it wasn't until that moment I felt like he overcame the odds of like his own internal struggle and his problems with like his own being a dad and his own dad. And as the only one here who is dad, it's like, I felt that, you know what I mean? Like felt like just like kind of change the mold. You know what I mean?
It's well, that's, what's great. Yeah. He
I love my
that,
dad,
like, generational...
but he just shakes my hand too. You know, I get it.
Right. Right. And he breaks the generational, and it's sick because IRL, he does break that generational trauma. Like he breaks that, like he breaks the like manliness that was put on him. And like his kids are like, they're so well-rounded, and it's so great because they're like straight up like muscle men, and like they totally I don't know if they're in like any kind of wrestling division, but they have wrestled and they like, you know, they've carried on a little bit of that
yeah.
name, but
they might still be. I'm not too sure.
I don't know as
that's
of
cool
now, but I on the if you go to r/coldest of knowledge, you can see I posted
I know
the little what is that called? Whatever, behind the...
Yeah,
the darkness of the ring or something.
Dark,
what's it called?
Yeah, darkness,
the ring.
Darkness of the ring.
The ring is so dark.
Which,
please
yeah,
go. No.
Dark side of the ring,
so
I think.
Just
dark side of the ring.
Just talking about that real quick, there's a lot of dark stories with professional wrestling.
Well, any head trauma sport, you're going to have some...
Well, no, but for some reason, WWE or professional wrestling in general, like...
Yeah.
Oh, my God, what's it... Eddie Guerrero, which yeah. Chavo Guerrero Jr.
Yeah.
was the
Benoit.
One.
Oh,
Chris Benoit.
Yeah.
Chavo
yeah.
Guerrero
yeah,
Jr.
Right. Right.
was the one who helped choreograph a lot of the wrestling stuff.
Yeah. It's, yeah. I don't know what it is either. There's something there. Something there about, and maybe it is about like other sports, there's ego, obviously, but it's like the tension of like the actual like being good. But in professional wrestling, like you have to be strong and you have to be like physically capable, but like, you're so constantly having to elevate that ego to a performance that it's just like, maybe that just like fucks with people's heads or something.
I'm sure it does because
well, I mean, right. Yeah.
yeah
the mental,
it.
The taxation of the, yeah. Of
yeah.
just
we're,
of
this is like now a
like that,
mental health podcast where we're professionals.
Well, if you
yeah,
think
right.
about professional
call the suicide
wrestling,
hotline.
If you think about professional wrestling, it's like literal character arcs that take place in real time. It takes literal yeah. years for people to actually get that weird character that's written out. In real life,
right.
it's so fascinating. It's weird.
Remember
professional
when
wrestling's
we,
weird.
Remember when we used to have people call us?
I know.
I forgot
right,
we had a phone
yeah.
number. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. This. So rewinding it back just a little bit, I really really like this movie. I got three problems with it though, and they're all minor, and I feel bad because they are like pretty nitpicky, but I couldn't. Like, they kept breaking my immersion, and they kept, like, taking me out of the movie.
Is it the jorts?
No, I love the jorts.
No,
I
love the
love,
jorts.
I love that, like, and it makes sense that he filmed
they look,
him
they
at
look
the end.
So good.
That it's the end because it's, like, the roid swelling. Like, his head is actually shrunk two sizes like the Grinch.
Dude,
like,
No, dude, Zac Efron, I don't know how they must. It's like a Japanese like, melon. They put his head in like a mold so it could grow. Like, I don't know how head, square.
I'm like, oh my
it got
God,
so
I didn't know
fucking square.
It's like, I didn't know your fucking skull got thicker.
Like, yeah, I don't know. Like, I mean, I've heard of like a square jaw, but there are some times where they shot him and I'm like, no, that is, it's literally like you held like a binder to
he's
the
like
side
of his head.
He's like a
Minecraft character.
Yeah, really, dude. Steve from it's a bobblehead.
That's no, so messed up.
I'm fine with all that. The scene, I didn't really like the scene that you liked so much about like them meeting up with the brothers. And it wasn't because I think it's really nice. I think it's really warm. It's a feel-good moment. And I don't even really care that like it kind of took me out of the realism of it, like by breaking it and be like, yeah, look, I'm like, we're all going on the other side of the river and passing over. Like, that's nice. I'm fine with that. What irritated me the most about that scene is that when he's like, oh, you're my little brother, that my older brother that I never got to meet. But earlier he was like, oh, my older brother died when I was 5, which means that he had to have been at least over 5 when he died. That child was no older than 4. Drove me nuts. Like, that was a young child. That child that they cast, they needed to cast an older child. That child was too young.
Oh,
that,
oh, I
that
didn't even
bugged me.
The timeline.
That bugged
oh, that's
me.
What's weird because that maybe then that's just like dialogue mixed with like real life, because the kid in real life was like 4 or 5 when he died. The oldest one.
Oh yeah. Well, so it's like that's the dialogue. It's so like if they would have even just cut that out, yeah. I wouldn't even known, because he's like, my older brother died when I was 5, and it was like weird. And then it's just like, then it's this kid that's like,
but then
that kid's younger than my kid. You know what I mean?
But maybe they're all like a year together, you know? And so the kid is like supposed to be 5.
Well, there's also a brother in the real story that died that they do not show in the movie.
I didn't even know that until after we watched it. There was another
brother. It
gets
sadder. It somehow got sadder.
I can tell you why, because Sean, whatever Vaughn dude, Sean Durkin, Dude, he's been writing this script, and he's been working with his family for over 7 years, and he's been trying to get this movie off the ground. And for the first 5 years, he had it written out where it was all like 5 brothers, and they were like full-fledged characters, and like the script was somewhat similar, you know, but like there's tweaks. And then like until 2 years ago, or whatever, 4 years ago, I guess technically, it's like he was like, I don't know if I should have, like, it's so repetitive because there are 2 deaths that are very similar.
You become numb to it almost. Right. And so it makes sense because it's like it needs Carrie's
like
death
narratively,
needs to be impactful narratively. Now.
Right, exactly. Narratively, there's too many
I
deaths.
I get the choice. It's a hard choice.
Put 2 brothers together, you know? And like, I think that it works because what the one brother, I have it here, it's Chris. Yeah. Chris didn't really do much.
Like, let me check my notes.
Chris.
At least someone's taking notes.
You know his last. You know his last name. Chris. It's Vaughn Eric. But
Vaughn.
Yeah. he killed himself, and he didn't need to. You know, it's like he wasn't really part of the wrestling scene.
Yeah.
As much. So.
Nah, it's just the fucking domineering, fucking super insane dad. You know, it's a bummer.
I know. Well, and it's
but
such
it was
a
good
like,
dynamic, and he acted it so well.
It's crazy
like,
though
like,
that. All the it's crazy that all the brothers their relationship really fueled their efforts. Like the dad was there and he like and I thought this movie was going to be a lot more like Whiplash or something where like the dad's presence was a lot greater, but it really wasn't. It's like these kids like worked together. Like the dad was like the dad opened the door to wrestling and they all enjoyed it. They all got into it. I mean, you know, it's probably because it's like they were born into it. And so that definitely helps. Like, you
they're
know,
just
you
like
grow
on
up
the
and it's
clock
something they know.
24/7. You know what I mean? It's like he's
but,
just
right.
the boss of life. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's just like how
right.
do you and it's like if you know that from birth.
But
like,
it's just I just think it's crazy that they all got into it. It's kind of like. It's kind of weird. It's like weird that a family of that many kids would all get into like the same sport.
It makes me wonder because I mean, like obviously, you can't ask any of them because they're all fucking dead. But the one, but it's like you don't. I don't know because it's like maybe did they convince? Because their dad just made. I mean, at least according to the movie, their dad just made the choices for them. Like you're getting in the wrestling, and it's not even like question of their will. But then they all seemed to like it, which I think they did because they were together. And like having fun. So but, I do get that. But also it's just like, I feel like they might be just
a little bit of to tell that themselves that indoctrination, they like it, right? Like, of just like, oh yeah, this is the family thing. Like, you're gonna keep doing it
if
because
they
I tell you to do it.
If they would have lived, yeah, who knows? They might have been like, you know what? I actually always hated wrestling. You know what I mean? But it's just like my dad, my fucking daddy.
And I think there are like, they're probably in like what, maybe second wave of like what wrestling kind of became, and then like what it is now. Because Kerry, he went on to be like, he took away the Von Erich name, and he stayed in wrestling for a couple of years before he, you know, before he tragically killed himself. But it like, it's kind of like cool to see him, like he wanted to be in wrestling. So it's like, I feel like they all might have done something later in their lives, like when they got through this. And I, oh my gosh, with all my research, did you know what age they're supposed to be?
I figured like that early on.
No one ever said ages. 20s.
Well, yeah, early 20s. I thought, right? Kevin, that's... was like, I'm pretty sure I surmised that like by the time he hooked up with Bam, he was like 23 or something, thereabout.
Right.
You know, early 20s. And then he's like a super virgin and everything because he's so sheltered that he's like, have you ever done it before? And she's like, you're so sweet.
I know. No.
I
thought I would do that again.
I couldn't. That was, okay, my second problem. Just while
I know,
it,
yeah.
Just while we get to it. The character of Pam, I know she's a real person. And so, and I know that the story's not about her. But from a, like a writing and like narrative standpoint, she only exists as this backdrop for him, that she feels like this weird tool, because like I was waiting for some ulterior motive, like, or something to happen with her, like where it's like she comes up to him and is like, hi, and she like is really like blunt and like, well, you're gonna take me out and we're gonna get married. And then she's like, the exposition is like, okay, I gotta make this woman seem three-dimensional, and she's like, I'm gonna open up a veterinary clinic and I want a man that's okay with that. And he's like, great. And then she's like, cool. And then it's just like, I don't know, she's just like there.
She got the more for him the, to project, the Martin Scorsese, like, dude, she got the Martin Scorsese treatment.
But even then,
sure,
it's like the wife in like Goodfellas, like she has this come up, and it's like the scene in Goodfellas where Henry wakes up with her with the gun on top of him. Like, I was waiting for any type, like there was the literally like, this isn't working for me, you need to come be a dad, because it's just like, I'm just a character to drive your motivations. I have no personality of my own, which was a bummer for me. Like, I just, every time I was waiting,
yeah,
like I feel like there's maybe some cut scenes, because it's like the mom, because obviously this is a very like male centric and like it's about masculinity in a lot of ways.
Sure is.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
But it's like...
And it's about the patriarchy of the family, that, 100%, that dynamic.
100%. So time. I get that it's not really about that, but it's like, even the mom character, she has less screen time, but her character arc is small, but it's there. Like, she's the stone cold religious, but then she has the very subtle connection with Michael, the youngest son, and then it ends with the fucking dad coming home and being like, what's for dinner? And she's like, I didn't feel like dinner, I'm painting. And it's like... That's just like, you can see what's inferred. Like, that's great writing. Like, that's great writing to
yeah.
see her.
No, that
character
that ending scene was amazing.
Without like
them.
A buttload, yeah, exactly. Without a buttload of exposition, where it's like Pam's character is just like, here's who I am, here's what I'm about, and then never does any of it, and never does anything for herself other than being like, I mean, remember me? You have a family, and he's like, yeah, I got to start my own family.
Pretty sure she is of that.
I mean, in real life, that's what I'm saying.
In the movie, they show that she's a vet. She gets back from there.
Oh yeah,
and she's like tired. Okay, well,
yeah, you're
so
right.
Maybe you're just
right.
ignoring all the women characters.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's why I was like, is this movie like, obviously, is it just bad? Because there's only two female characters essentially.
I don't disagree.
Which is
now
fine,
that
but
you're
the mom,
bringing up the mom, yeah,
the mom was great, and less screen time. But that's, you know, again, not about that. So that was just one thing that I was like, every time she was in it, I was waiting for like something to pop off. Right. You know what I mean? With her, like for her to have like, I wanted the blowout scene, like not at the funeral necessarily, because that wouldn't have seemed appropriate. But where she's like, we have a baby now and all that. Like they were good. But I was like waiting for them to like get in.
I know she didn't really pressure him to sell.
She didn't have agency.
Like as much as I thought.
You know what I mean?
I thought she would. And I'm like, I bet you in real life there was a lot more like persuasion. You know, I mean, it might not have been like a conflict,
like,
but it could have just been
money.
A lot more like,
fuck
hey,
your dad.
You're like, well, yeah, we need money. You need to like focus on your family. And like, you're getting like, you know, you're like, you know, getting mentally and physically beat up. And like,
I wanted,
it would have been cool if it was like, they call back to the very first scene with, when it was in black and white with the dad and the mom going by like, hey, we need the money. How's like spending for this car going to give us a house?
Yeah, that would have been good. Which, speaking of, I know that the black and white was only for like showing the past. But man, I wish there was more black and white in it because the fucking black and white cinematography was so good. Like,
it looked
the
great.
Cinematography in this whole movie was really, really good. But I'm like, it's when you see good
it's
black and white cinematography,
yeah,
it's shot in black and white.
It looked noir.
It's Raging Bull.
So good. Yeah, exactly. Where they got the old school cameras and everything. And he's just like in the ring, just like the claw. It's good.
Yeah.
I will say it was probably also to hide some of the special effects to de-age him.
Oh, yeah. It worked good. You know what I mean? It's like, because that was the.
Because it looked very soft.
Yeah. Though this whole movie was super soft, which I liked. It was a very warm lighting, very soft. They had a lot of really. I feel like this would be Mac from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia's favorite movie, but like he would not get the point of it at all. He just is like, look at the physique, you know? Like, because there's so many shots of just like oiled chests.
Holy shit, though. Dude, okay, guys, do you understand how like Zac Efron. He's Hollywood money behind it, and he has whatever growth hormone steroid, you know, whatever he's using.
Go for it. Get on this. Get the steroids.
And that's the whole thing.
Go.
I've been looking into it, and I'm gonna start roiding because it's like it's totally legit, dude. But no, anyways, it's like
who needs my? Like, I don't need my balls.
His physique
it's
is
not as bad as you think.
It's insane, dude. No, really though, steroids actually like have come such a long way.
It's fine, dude.
But back in the day,
I was hardcore addicted to steroids for like 10 years. So,
it
was terrible.
Right? No, exactly. And that was the part. That's what I mean. Okay, so when I said I wish that this was a little darker, it's because Carrie's character he demonstrates the most like aggression that comes from like steroids and from the demand of his profession and like and kind of the aimlessness of his life. Like, you know, he wanted to be an Olympian, that didn't work out. So he kind of like is settling to be a wrestler, but then he actually gains a lot of fame and popularity because IRL, Carrie goes on, he carries his own thing. And dude, when he loses his foot, he like straight up had to lie, like in real life for like 2 years, he still wrestled and just like they said he was in rehab. And then like when he got out, his foot was amputated and he used to work with a prosthetic and he still wrestled and he hid the prosthetic.
That's impressive.
Dude,
That's crazy.
And I'm like, no wonder like that's what sucks is in the movie. They didn't actually like emphasize the fact that like he's pushing himself so far. Like he says it, but it's like, I don't know. They didn't show it as much as they could have. Like, I just feel like what he was doing, like, I'm like, I had to make it up in my mind to be like, holy shit, I understand like the mental taxation that's going on here.
Yeah.
Like, and it's so tragic, dude. But that's crazy. In real life, he really did show up to his dad's, give his dad a hug, and then kill himself like right after. It's crazy. I mean, Kevin wasn't there, but.
He would have been the main character in any other movie.
Right. And that's kind of, I think they did a great job because they both. Like, even though, you know, Jerry Allen White came in, like, later, right?
Yeah.
He was, like, what? Like, 30 minutes after?
Yeah,
you know,
I was waiting for him because that was the other thing with my expectations. Yeah. I was like, oh, Jeremy Allen White and Zac Efron, two actors that are, like, I've only seen a handful of their stuff, and they're only breaking out, kind of, they're, like, they're, quote-unquote, younger. They're, like, breaking out into, like, being big, like, good actors now. I'm like, oh, fuck yeah, I'm into that. I like both those guys. And so I was like, 25 minutes in the movie. I'm like, where's Jeremy Allen White? I was watching The Bear. And I'm like,
I know.
Where's the buff guy? And then, but then it shows up and he's great. Everyone's great.
Yeah.
So, to segue off that, what did you guys think about Ric Flair?
Oh, that was cool.
Oh, I know.
That
it's fun.
Was amazing.
Right.
Yeah. A lot of people did not like the guy who played Ric Flair's performance.
I don't know. That's the thing.
I don't know about Ric Flair.
I don't know enough about
Ric Flair to be like, that's not accurate or whatever.
I mean, I know that's Nature Boy, but I also saw his promos. I saw him all like, oh, no, he does a pretty decent job. So I don't know what everyone's problem is.
I just like his role in the movie, I think, was great because it's like
the antagonist.
He's like this villain because the dad's like the real antagonist, but he shows up as this villain just for like the, you know, at the end, like kind of climax. And it's the part when Kevin like finally breaks down and like actually kind of pushes it too far. But then, and like the dad and like Jeremy Allen White are all sitting there like, oh, like, you fucked up. Like, they take it so seriously. And then he comes in, he's like, whoa, that was crazy, dude. Let's get a beer, man. And it's like, this is just, like, at the end of the day, yeah, it's just wrestling, man. Like, it's a job. And like, it's real, but it's not that, it's not that kind of real. Like, these guys, it's their whole, yeah, it's their whole lives. Where it's like, oh, we're so disappointed in you, Kevin. You fucked up. And Ric Flair's just like, hey, man, like, we're getting paid to just fucking play fight, man. And it's awesome. Like,
when he comes in all bloodied from the Iron Claw. I'm okay, can I just take a second? How much hand strength that would take to actually crush somebody to get them to bleed from just their fingertips?
It's so cool.
Oh, my goodness.
Iron Claw itself.
They practice crushing apples, dude. That was their... That's how they used to their grip strength.
That's so sick.
That's what you got to do. You go to the grocery store and see if you can crush an apple.
That's fun. Now jiu-jitsu guys just take their gi and just hang it over like a pole or something and just do pull-ups. That's how you do grip strength nowadays. Lame.
I know. You should get it now. You're getting back into guitar. They have those like fingertip like exercisers.
Yeah.
And it's like my dad used to have one of those, and it's like they're pretty intense. Work up it up. They're like springs.
Again, I just do jiu-jitsu in real life. It's fine.
Do you do with your fingers, though?
Yes. Do you know what jiu-jitsu is? Grappling? Grabbing people?
No. Are you iron clawing a guy's skull?
No, but you have to grab them.
Get with the program.
You have to grab them.
You're right.
I know, Pablo, what's your special move in the ring? What's the one that you do to get the crowd hyped?
I kind of want to do the iron claw. No, honestly, my favorite is actually getting someone underneath fireman carry and just flipping them over. So fun.
Sounds fun. Giving some of the old flip.
And then armbar.
Can we say that suplex when they do, or whatever it is, it's not quite a suplex. The one where you flip it. Yeah. It's like you get them into a suplex and then you flip them. Dude, Jeremy Allen White was like so close to hitting the mat that like he said when he was doing the, like, and they did a lot of that shit on one take. It was crazy. Like they would like, because they would rehearse forever, but it's like they would shoot it, and that scene, he said he did it, and he could, like, feel his hair hit the mat, but he was like, I don't think I was that close. And then when he was watching it later, he was just like, holy shit. He's like, I could have broke my neck.
All those scenes, like, not only, we don't even, like, the choreography is great, and the scene when, like, I felt, like, a huge impact, and I was like, oh, I'm fucking invested. Like, I leaned forward in my chair, as I thought you were going to say, is when Zac Efron's character first gets flipped on the concrete, and he, like, you it's actually feel... his real pain, and it's like the way that like audio cuts out, and it's like so close on him, and it's like the breath is knocked out of him, and it's like he's fighting through getting kicked even though he's obviously in horrible pain, like broke a rib or something. And then it's just, and I was like, oh fuck. And then that's what, like, that's the first step of his downfall with his dad. His dad's like, yeah you took too long, and so, you know, like you didn't, your brother had to step in because you were like wheezing, like the disappointment on his face when he's like wheezing trying to do his speech at the end. Like, and he sounds whipped, and he's like not selling at all. He's like, yeah, you come back here for some more of this. And it's like the look on his dad's face is just like, oh
yeah.
You could tell that they like definitely were like, okay, what's it like to break a rib? And it's just like, oh, you literally cannot breathe.
They did that with the audio, like a audio visual medium. They did it, like, it cut out in such a good way. And obviously Zac Efron's acting is like, I was like, oh shit. Like, I was like leaning forward, like,
good. Yeah, as someone who gets like flipped over like quite a bit and doing wrestling and jiu-jitsu, hitting a mat is not the same as concrete. Spoilers for everybody, but it's messed up.
I mean, that's the whole reason, is like they have the mat because it's like the amount, the physicality that's going on, you have to have a mat or everyone would die in the first game, in the first round. Like, you would, in the one bout on just like concrete, you'd be dead.
It's crazy like, how much they help each other, like fall down gently. But when you actually full send and just toss someone into the floor, you're just like, oh my God.
Well, and it's like, that's what's interesting too. It's like, I'm not sure about so much in the real life, but I like in this movie where it's like, it's a performance and you're acting, but it's like, also, if this guy's a dick, and it's like, they obviously, again, the ego. It's like, they're going to contact with you and hurt you a little bit more. You know what I mean?
And that happens. That absolutely happens.
Yeah, you can tell that other guy was just like, you coming for my title? And obviously, the title part is like predetermined, sort of.
Well,
but then
I wish they got into that a little bit in this. That was one thing I was like, it's like, oh, they didn't quite, you know, peel back the curtain enough. they made it. They definitely made it a family drama, which is like
I wanted to see. Which is like, great, and it's a little it's bit amazing, of the business because I kind of it wasn't
yeah,
until
I
like
wish
later
more
in
business.
The, later in the movie, I was like, oh, the dad like runs the company, like runs the whole thing,
like, right? And like him, like, and then when he's like cooking the books and stuff, you're kind of like, oh shit, like you're like, oh, I like of course, like now I you know, like when I saw that, I was like, oh, well, duh, he runs the thing and he controls his children, like that right there. Shows me a lot of the control without being like without explaining it, you know, without like it's great filmmaking,
you know,
but
you know this movie kind of reminded me of, and I was kind of expecting because it's got like a similar cinematic style and similar themes, I guess, was that so we haven't done this in a while, but if you like this, watch this. Other than The Wrestler, which you should, is Foxcatcher. Steve Carell.
Oh,
and that, have you guys seen that?
No, I did not see that.
It's really good, but it's another true crime. It's like more like true crime though. But it's like about wrestling, but it I think it's wrestling, but it's like more the Olympic style, like real wrestling.
Oh,
and
true,
it's a true story about like how there's like murder involved in there. But it's kind of shot similar, and it's about like another domineering. I don't remember if he's their dad or just their coach or what, but it's like this more other relationship that like pushes these athletes to a breaking point. Like it's a lot. It like it is a it's a great. I liked it a lot, but it's a perfect pairing with this movie, I think, too.
No, honestly,
Foxcatcher. You guys should. I think you guys would both like.
I like how much they keep the kayfabe, which kayfabe is just like, you know, oh, we're wrestling. This is real life, basically the act.
Oh yeah.
I like how much they keep the kayfabe and not really pull back that curtain a whole line, just to be like, no, this they take it seriously when they're training the moves. They're like really like, no, you do it like this, like more pressure. And it's like they're taking it so seriously, and that helps to be like, oh no, this isn't just like we're not just playful. Like we're trying to do some stuff here. Yeah.
I love the sincerity. Yeah, the sincerity of wrestling. That's the thing I like. I don't know, man. Wrestling is weird. Like, I'm not into it, but I totally respect it. And I love, like, people who really, like, you know, fangirl over it. Like, I love, like, the people who know the history of it. It's cool. It's like, it's kind of like, it's like a soap opera, you know, mixed with, like, you know, jiu-jitsu or any kind of, like,
that's
MMA.
That's what I'm saying.
Or,
it's like,
kind of, like,
inject soap opera
fight.
Drama, melodrama into more sports. But then make it a separate thing. That's okay. Make it a separate thing.
Make it a separate thing.
Well, I loved how... Victoria's like, what's the difference between boxing and wrestling? And I was like, well, okay, there's a large difference. But
they both
then,
take place
then
in a ring,
like,
obviously. So
well,
it's
right,
the same.
Right.
The square
but I'm like, down. I'm like, duh. But there's probably, I can't even like get close to the nuance between.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know what between like MMA and boxing and jiu-jitsu and wrestling. Like I clearly know there's like,
that's
there's
what
distinctions.
I'm here for.
Yeah.
But what? Yeah, what
when
are
we
like? What are some
fight,
more?
I was like,
what are some more nuances?
MMA
yeah,
versus like you're doing Muay Thai versus like what's the difference between Muay Thai and kickboxing is what I was asking you.
Yeah,
and it's subtle. I could tell there was a difference, but like,
no, it's well, yeah, it's obviously like professional wrestling is much more flashier than Olympic wrestling. Olympic wrestling, you're trying to pin them down to the ground, like on their back, get their shoulders touching the mat to get that pin. But even still, like on this one, as someone who does like more wrestling, MMA, jiu-jitsu, grappling, stuff like this, I still like respect the hell out of like professional wrestlers and the stuff that they have to do, the physicality of it, the performances. It's just like it's the exact same thing, just in a different way for the most part.
Okay. Yeah. Right. And I'm sure it's like a lot of it comes to like technicals for points. That was like a thing that I'm like, I'm sure that's like because I watch MMA. I'm like, there are times where I'm like, they like will wail on each other, but then they have to like back away and stuff like that. That's kind of interesting. Do you have any insight on that? Like, is it like when there's like a ref? So whenever there's a ref in wrestling, I'm always like, that referee's like just he's not a ref. Like they're doing shit constantly that's like fucked up, and so I'm like it's kind of part of the theatrics.
Yeah.
But I'm like a ref in like something that seems more quote unquote serious, I guess if you will, like. Yeah, something that's more like more authentic to where like they can actually seriously hurt each other because they're not trying to choreograph it. You know, they're not trying to like make a spectacle. They're really
trying to outmaneuver each other. They're trying to actually pin each other. They don't have like crazy special moves.
Yeah,
but it's still like for a lot of it, it's just like no, we're gonna tie each other up. I'm gonna show you when to hit the ground. I'm gonna help you land safely. I'm not just gonna try to pin
it's not
you
like a fight
and,
to the death where I'm like trying to fucking put you down and break you. I'm trying overpower you.
Yeah, that's,
Pablo. What's
I mean,
what's the
wrestling.
Adrenaline?
Oh yeah, 100%.
What's the adrenaline rush that you get? Like, what is that?
awesome.
When you step into the ring, like, what is the... Do they capture it well in this movie? Because there are times when, like, it shows them in the, like, ring and they're about to go do something. And, like, that, it, like, you can see the smile on their face and that, like, that excitement where you're, like, it's calculated, but, like, they're having a good time. And, like...
Okay, so I've never had an actual fight, but I've recently done hard sparring. Sparring is a different feeling. And I will say, yes, that adrenaline and that pain, and when you just smile and you just go, all right, let's do this, is addicting.
Yeah.
So I totally get it, even if it is just a performance.
Yeah. And the fame there in this movie, because it is like getting up there, being the set, but I imagine that's addictive.
And for sparring, like in a real fight, you're trying to like, okay, I'm trying to put this dude down. I want to make sure he does not get up. I want to make sure I submit him so I win the fight. In sparring, we're not trying to hurt each other, really. We're just trying to, you know, like test our skills and help each other out. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that's closer to professional wrestling than an actual MMA fight, kickboxing, whatever.
That makes sense, where it's just like, yeah, because it is more of like a back and forth like that. We're getting sort of long in the tooth at the end there. I need to mention my third problem, and then I want to hear you guys' favorite scenes.
Okay.
All right. So the other thing, I was going to bring it up earlier when you were talking about Jeremy Allen White's decapitated foot. the fact they show him with road rash all over his back, which is like it's fresh. And then he comes out with his perfectly baby butt smooth CG stump. It killed me. Like, I'm like,
yeah,
he's still got road rash, but his fucking stump, like, I'm like, put a CG bandage on it, man. Make it like grow, like stumps are not like that until years. You know what I mean?
Years later, right? Yeah. No, I agree.
Every time they showed the stump, I was kind of it took me out of it. It broke my immersion of it. And also the CG was like, it's fine, but it was a little iffy. But you know, they did a pretty good job. Lieutenant Dan.
I was taken aback though, because I thought that he was just going to get into it. I didn't know he lost his foot in real life. Watching this movie, I was like, oh, I knew he was going to crash his motorcycle. Obviously, they showed that narrative.
I thought he was going to die.
I thought he was going to die too.
But then I thought, oh, yeah, me too. I was like, oh, he dies here. And then I was like, oh, okay, he wakes up. Clearly, I was like, wow, okay, kind of like disaster averted. And then I'm like, Jesus Christ, his foot's gone. Like, I was like, oh, God. Like, that's wild. And then I thought, like, oh, his career's over. That's depressing. Exactly. And then he pushes through it. And I was kind of like, I'm like, oh, shit, man. He's having, like, I really liked his arc from that point.
Yeah,
like, I was like,
that's exactly, you know, what he, like, I was going to say.
And,
too.
Dude, and when he wins the belt and then he's celebrating, like, with nobody. He's just alone.
It's so
it's, like,
somber
quiet in the kitchen.
Too. It's like, we finally have it.
It shows the juxtaposition, that contrast of, like, when you're in the stage and you're in the ring, you are, like, you're God. You're such a celebrity.
They can't leave the building without signing autographs. But
right, and then when you're done, you're just kind of back
alone,
home and it, like,
alone in your fucking kitchen, and your dad's like, "What's the next thing?"
Yep. No, for any competitor, that is true.
Hmm. Yeah.
What was your favorite part, Pablo?
I already talked about it, but the final scene when he's with his kids and he just breaks down finally, and he's just allowed to finally
acting, like,
just
let
it all go.
What about you, Jordan?
Yeah, I mean, I stand by really enjoying that. I loved when he's, you know, jumping with his foot and stuff, but the end scene. But I don't know. I mean, like, I liked, there were some cool montages, and I loved all the choreograph. But I really loved that
the needle
scene
drops.
When,
right, that was your favorite
when,
part.
No, my God, I know we didn't even get into that. We don't need to, but. But when that, it's like the scene, I think they used it for some of the promotions and stuff, and it's like just a really simple scene, but it's that, I loved like that crazy ass depth of field, and he's just like, he's like by himself in the ring, and he's just flexing, and then he's just doing the, like,
that's
rope
my
bounces
favorite scene
where he runs. Oh, is it really?
That's mine. It's like, that's because it's, that's right close after his brother's, like, funeral too, and it's just like that
was
one
it right
shot.
I was gonna say, I couldn't remember if it was,
like,
after tragedy or a,
like,
loss.
Yeah, he's like beating himself up, and then he's and then it, like, cuts that extreme depth of field of him just like hard, like, as possible from rope to rope,
and then, like,
then throwing himself
ground, break falling
over and over, and it's just like, yeah, that was my favorite scene too, because that's how he works it out, but also it looked amazing. And I know how much you bust for shallow depth of fields too, so
it really,
like,
it's funny because
it
really
shallower.
right, like, make it so blurry I can't even see him. Like, I want a blur,
maybe out of focus.
Yeah, really though.
Well, look, they're all miniatures.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I loved a scene I really liked that demonstrated all the characters and all the kids is when they're at the dinner table and he's like, did you see all the, or they're outside at the picnic table or whatever and the girlfriend's over. And he's like, yeah, dad, and you see all those cool angles, all the angles on the camera? And the dad's just like, shut the fuck up, Mike, you idiot.
Which is
we
so
don't care
stupid.
About
this
angles.
That's like the whole wrestling.
Yeah, exactly.
I know.
It's like,
well, no, and that's
you can
thing,
sell
yeah.
it. Like,
but you can, and that goes to show like the dad's ignorance and the old school. The dad's been, you know, wrestling
the
in the 60s.
School,
it's like,
yeah,
it's all the physicality you know. And like none right. of the like showing.
Yeah, the show, and that's, yeah.
Do you have a money minute for us? I'm curious.
I do. It was, yeah, it's a pretty modest budget, dude. It's $15 million, which is nothing. Which is literally nothing today.
I mean,
like $15 million is like the new $5 million.
That
like,
sounds perfect though, because it's like we talk about all yeah. the time. It's like very few movies should ever be over $30 million. You know what I mean? It's just
well, dude,
like make...
Argyle. I just read that on Reddit. Argyle
oh, no.
was $200 million.
No, was
to make
it?
That
no
movie.
Way.
Why?
Jesus Christ!
What are they doing? What do they need that?
Sam
for?
Rockwell anyway. Can't even get me to see that movie.
I,
and that's
I know.
That's a tough one.
I know. I know. He really
Sam
can't.
Sam Rockwell's
I'm
my
so,
guy,
yeah.
but I'm like, oh man,
yeah.
I don't know.
I know. I won't see it. But anyways,
yeah,
so I just,
million, like,
the fact like, that it's 15
modest,
million is, yeah. yeah.
Looks great. Sounds, I mean, like, sounds good.
It could have,
acting.
If
like,
this movie was 40 million, I would have been like, sure.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have, like,
honestly,
batted an eye.
Yeah, honestly.
Really, though. Like, that's kind of, you know, where we're at nowadays. But anyways, 15 million, and then it grossed 44. So,
oh, okay. And I'm sure it'll keep
yeah.
going, because it's
and the,
still
the
pretty
the Oscar
new.
Buzz and everything.
Yeah, exactly. I think, I wish it would have gotten, like, a little bit more Oscar attention, just so more people would have saw it. I do feel like, some scenes, like especially like that felt like extra melodramatic-y, like with that, it's like I could see yeah. people saying it's like Oscar baity, but I mean, I don't think so. It's like, but it's like, I think I want to see everything that these guys keep doing. It just makes me more excited for their careers. Like,
really,
I yeah. want to see what Zac Efron, like, I want to see what he does next. I'm excited. Jeremy Allen White, the whatever the director's name is, I forget, but it's
well,
like,
well, no, yeah, Sean Durkin, I think, is gonna like. I don't know if he's going to continue doing these because this is always kind of the most interesting
forever,
thing.
Yeah.
yeah, right. We're right. It was like a passion project. And so now you're kind of like, well, what? Well, you know, they'll find another passion, I guess, really. But I'm curious to see what he does next. Because Pablo, you mentioned, I think, on Reddit where like it's weird to see like these kind of almost sport, like it's the sport biopic. And there's such a like niche market. But yet this movie is really universal.
I think
I really think
too,
like.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, anyone should see this movie. It's a great
I
family drama.
I normally don't give a fuck about sports biopics. And so
right,
that's why,
right,
like, when like, you say, like, on the outset, I was interested because I heard this movie was good, but nothing about the movie, like, sold it to me. Like, nothing about, like, you couldn't have done the plot, the poster. I'm like, I want to see that. It's just, like, a little bit of word of mouth, and then this, and I'm really glad. I'm really glad. And it's like, honestly, if you weren't, because it's like you all year, you're like, Iron Claw. You got to see Iron Claw.
Yeah. Okay.
I honestly wish I would have saw it in theaters because it's
me
like.
Me too. Me
that,
too.
Like, not only to support it and see it on the big screen, but it's like, because of the cinematography, it's like on my shitty TV, the like depths of
yeah.
the blacks, like we're all fucking chunky and pixelated.
Yeah.
On my and so I'm like, I want to see that on like a huge fucking. Huge screen and just like feel the richness because I know it was. I get, I'm like, oh, my TV's failing me right now.
That's how it was when I watched it on my monitor yeah. as well. Yeah, it was trash.
Anyway, before we get going, I got one Reddit comment. So let's see what they say. So, I mean, we got more Reddit comments, but it's all us. And then
yeah, I know, right?
So Clones of People 2 says, I'm a big fan of wrestling and I know the Von Erichs tragic story. So I was pretty excited to watch this. I thought this was a really good character drama, and I'm happy it stayed focused on the people and the events outside the ring. This could have been a novelty wrestling film for wrestling fans, so I'm glad it took a deeper look at the people. There was a lot of fun parts to the film, and apart from Fritz Von Erich, all the characters were quite likable. I thought Efron was great. He's really underrated as an actor. Knowing the subject matter, I knew this would be tragic, but the ending hit me emotionally. The reuniting of the brothers was so poetic, I didn't expect that kind of scene. Overall, I really enjoyed this. 8 out of 10. I love to hear the opinion of someone who doesn't like wrestling. Thanks. Yeah, thanks for your comment. It's like interesting because it's like that's the exact. I'm glad we were both able to enjoy it because it's like, we're kind of the exact opposite where it's like, if Clones of People 2 knew everything about the story going in and still really enjoyed it and like knew all about it, and it's like we went in. I went in cold. I knew nothing.
Yeah.
And it's still goes to show the universal, like the universal story. It's like, it is a human tragic story. Like,
yeah, I think anybody could enjoy this. Like, I know, my friend who's not like a big,
I think Mary would
wrestling
it,
fan honestly. Or a big sports fan. Well, maybe a little bit. Like, she fucking loved that movie.
Yeah,
like she really liked it.
Yeah, Victoria really liked it.
I told Mary because it's like Mary just like eats trauma in movies, you know, because it's like her profession, which I'm sure is why Victoria too. You know, it's like they're like, oh yeah, that's like that's why they're like, look at all their family trauma, right. And so it's like I know my wife. I'm like, yeah, you would like it, and you get to see Zac Efron's huge head. So, like, that's a bonus.
Yeah, it's great, dude.
I hope whatever movie he's in next.
I want to see him.
It's like a really, like, subdued role, but he's still massive.
No.
Like, he's just still.
Well, it's funny.
You just can't.
I want to see him.
You don't get to keep that physique, dude. It's, like, no. Literally a full-time job.
It would make sense because he looked like he looked like a regular person at the end. With his kids, and you could tell that that makes sense. That was the last thing they shot because he probably quit roiding. Yeah. Because at the beginning of the movie, it's like he's made of stone. He's made of stone, dude.
Yeah,
like,
those
like every single piece of his body.
It's so it's so funny. Do you know how they get prepped for those days? They go on like a dry fast, and they don't drink. They don't drink any liquids for like 48 hours, and then right before they shoot, they usually drink like Guinness or like. They'll drink like liquefied oats or something. They'll like chug a bunch of carbs and it like dehydrates you and sticks your skin to your muscles and just makes you look ripped. It's crazy. It's crazy. Yeah.
Is that what Gat does?
Honestly, for his show.
Right. Yeah.
Like,
no,
when
right.
He
that's
show,
it. Yeah. That
when
kind
he goes
of bodybuilding.
Show, I bet he will.
That's the bodybuilding competitions and stuff. Yeah. That's like the kind of the standard way to do it is like a dry
I wish
fast.
Gat would
and then,
like, he should watch. I'm going to tell him he should watch this.
I know, dude.
But no.
His hard body's got to look at it.
What I want to see is now Zac Efron fight Jake Gyllenhaal in the next Roadhouse film.
No.
Fuck Conor McGregor. Well, I want to see Zac Efron fight Jake Gyllenhaal.
That would be sick.
Well, see, I want to see Zac. That's why I'm excited. It's because it's like I've always kind of liked Zac Efron, like in the back, like even with his
High School Musical.
Stuff.
You love that?
I mean, honestly, like he's the best thing about it, right? And so it's like,
yeah.
But when I saw, I'm like one of the only people that saw the Ted Bundy movie, the shockingly wicked, incredibly evil and vile, or whatever. And I thought it was pretty good, just because I like that kind of content. But him specifically. Playing like such a like charismatic but sinister role, I'm like, this guy, like Zac Efron, you got it. I'm interested to see what you do next. And then this just made it be like, oh, he's skyrocketing to the top of like one of my most ambitious and like looking forward to actors.
I thought he was going to be typecast because when I saw Neighbors, I was like, okay, this Zac Efron's going to be this like goofy kind of
like
boy,
Mike and whatever,
kind of like Ryan Reynolds.
I saw that and him in that.
Yeah. But then, like, I'm like, okay, now he's starting to step into his you know, his Rob Pat kind of like trajectory.
Yeah.
Like, he's like getting some, like darker, weirder.
No,
things,
then
yeah.
He's just gonna be the next Batman. Fuck.
I know, Rip,
like,
dude.
Look how ripped he is.
How are they gonna fit that cowl over his scrub?
It's just gonna make it look even huge.
Oh, that feels so bad.
The CG won't even look right on it when they just have to do a CG helmet.
All right. I don't know what movie we're watching next, so that's Iron Claw. Go watch it. Thank you everyone who commented and watched it and voted. I don't know what movie's next because the poll's not over yet because I posted it late because I forgot to do it on Sunday. So I think right now it's pretty close between. The 1990 Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Kung Fu Hustle, I think, are the top dogs. So we shall see. I'll make a post about it tomorrow. Or, I mean, you'll probably see that post before you see this podcast. But, you know, then you'll know. It's one of those.
Probably. Please let it be Kung Fu Hustle.
I don't know. We'll see.
I don't know, man. Let's see. Cause
I don't know anything about ninjutsu. I'm sorry.
Oh, dude. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is winning hardcore. So we'll see what happens.
God, yeah.
TMNT.
All right. Well, thank you for
Thank you, Pablo, for hanging out again.
Thank you. You're coming next week, even if it's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, right?
No, I'm glad I was on. Glad I got to talk about wrestling and fighting and stuff like that. Even if it is professional wrestling, it's a huge show.
Cool. No. All right. Well,
awesome,
go on to the Reddit. We come talk to movies about movies with us. Come vote on the movies. Check out the Patreons and the YouTubes and all that good stuff.
Yeah, please, if you want to support us, Patreon is a great place to do it.
We're sending out, we make stickers all the time.
I'm gonna have some I'm gonna have some really funny stickers for this next month.
Oh.
So you guys get ready for it. I'm super excited.
Yeah. Can I do a quick shout out?
Yeah.
Yeah, if anybody is listening, shout out to SLC Muay Thai and Snake Pit MMA. If anybody's in the Salt Lake City area and want to train martial arts, please come in. More than happy to have you.
Hell yeah.
Do you want to give him the number or address? Do you got more to
not at this
you're
time
like find it online?
Oh yeah, right. No. They got it. SLC Muay Thai, Snake Pit MMA, look it up, you'll find us.
Google's a thing.
Okay. Yeah. Hell yeah.
All cool. Right. Well, thanks for listening. So long. Farewell.
Bye. All right.